Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Waiver wire's open today in fantasy because the week ended last night. Mellor's got the update for you in about 20 minutes. Plus, we'll tell you why Bill Barnwell thinks the Bears are a, I don't want to say likely destination because he's not speculating on where Le'Veon Bell's going to land necessarily. He's just giving you an idea of what he thinks would be a good fit. And he thinks the Bears are at the top of the list. Potentially go out and nab Le'Veon Bell, who hits the street in about 4 hours later today. So we will discuss all that. But let's talk a little bit more baseball. Yurk, out to the Corona Hotline to say hi to longtime baseball insider and scribe Keith Law, writing at The Athletic now, of course, his great podcast, The Keith Law Show. You follow him on Twitter, at Keith Law, and he joins Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Keith, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We're very well. The White Sox are looking for a new manager. And what type of manager should they be looking for is my first question for you.
Well, they are contenders now, and I think they're going to be contenders for the next several years. So they should be looking for a manager who they think can push them forward in that regard. And that's going to be somebody, in large part, who is a better tactical manager than Rick Renteria was. So I think that was Renteria's failing as a manager. So not to say he was bad necessarily, but I think in terms of just the X's and O's and in particular, pitcher handling, I think Renteria was weak. He may be much better in terms of handling personnel or in terms of developing players, but I don't think he was the right manager to take this team to the next level.
So who's a good tactical manager that's available, and why are they good tactically?
Well, there are two really good tactical managers available in A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora. I know both men very well. I worked with Alex several years at ESPN. I know A.J. from scouting before he was a manager or between his managerial gigs. He spent a lot of time out on the road watching players. I would run into him very frequently. So I know them well, which could, of course, make me a little biased, but I also know their thinking particularly well. I know that they despite both coming from a playing background that might be more traditional, both really embrace newer ways of thinking. They are not just willing to work with R&D departments who are providing data, but they actively seek out that information. They want to be able to make better in-game decisions. And they're not beholden to some of the more traditional ideas about how to handle players, about playing small ball in an environment where small ball isn't rewarded, about how you might handle pitchers. Alex Cora has actually spoken very derisively of the idea of the hot hand in baseball, for which there is no evidence whatsoever that it exists.
Right.
Both guys are available for a certain reason, but in my opinion, they serve their punishment. Major League Baseball decided an appropriate penalty. They served it. They're done. And now the fact that they're available should be the White Sox game.
That's right. They did the crime. They did the time. Now they're eligible to be reinstated back into baseball. I love it. Which one would you hire? You got to make a choice.
I would hire either. I absolutely would hire either guy. I wonder to what extent also the White Sox could be competing against the Tigers, who are in a very different situation. If I were sort of playing God here and parceling them out, I would send Cora to Detroit because he's, I think, more of a developmental guy, and they do have a lot of young pitching talent in particular, a little bit of hitting talent. They have more young talent that's just reaching the majors, whereas the White Sox, farm system's still okay, but most of the key guys are now in the majors. And so, you know, that is very much a win-today situation, and I think Hinch probably has a little edge there, whereas Cora, although he is a good tactical manager and does have history, obviously, with the Red Sox, of taking that team to a world championship, I think he's a little bit more development-minded. And if I'm Detroit, which I understand they're looking at a lot of these candidates, including these two guys, I would probably say Cora's a little higher for them, for their specific team needs.
If the White Sox decide to be active in the free agent market and they want to add a guy like Trevor Bauer, does that make it any less likely that they then would say, we want A.J. Hinch as our manager? You know, I mean, Trevor's been very outspoken against the cheating and everything. I mean, he's kind of a red ass. He goes after a little everybody, I guess, Keith. But, like, if they hired A.J. Hinch, would it take them out of any potential sweepstakes for Trevor Bauer?
I cannot imagine that would be true. I don't know Trevor at all, but he certainly seems like somebody who's very concerned about how much money he makes. And as most players are, like, I mean, to me, if I were an agent, I'd say, yeah, take the last dollar. Take every single dollar you can possibly get. What you don't get, it's not like it goes to other players. It goes to charity. It goes right back into the owner's pocket. Yeah. So by all means, go get paid. And Bauer is hitting the market at a pretty good time. He's the best free agent starter on the market. It's only him or Marcus Stroman if you want a potential number one starter in this market. I know both guys have some ups and downs in their careers. But if you're looking for a top-end starter for a championship rotation, those are your choices. So I don't think Bauer is going to say, well, I'm not going to this team because of this manager or this person there. I think he's just going to take the best offer.
Are there some natural connections in terms of who the pitching coach would be? Because the White Sox are moving off of Don Cooper after all these years, finally. And, I mean, who would A.J. Hinch want as his pitching coach? Any ideas?
No, I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't know. I don't know if he has somebody specific he'd want or if he'd look for somebody in the organization. I know as much as I know AJ, as much as I know Alex, too, I couldn't tell you who they'd be hiring for their staff.
Why has La Russa's name surfaced?
Yeah, did you hear some of those reports?
Yeah, I saw. I laughed.
It's crazy,
really hard.
Right?
I mean, there's a tiny part of me that's like, yeah, good, hire him. I'll have more to write about. you know, I was going to also make a crack about his age, but the fact that he's 76 makes him, I guess, old enough to run for president. So maybe that's not such a good line of thinking.
You can, I guess. That's right. Yeah, you can't make fun of that.
So far behind the times. I mean, they would be the worst possible hire.
Right.
My assumption is that came from someone in ownership, maybe throwing a sop to La Russa as, you know, a guy managed there. What was it, 60, 70 years ago?
Yeah, about that.
And who's obviously, you know, a well-respected figure in the game, but his time has passed. And if they do that, it is such a step backwards for this club. I mean, White Sox fans should be so excited right now. The team is good. They got to the playoffs. They've got young players who look like they're just going to get better. Making the right managerial hire here could make them contenders for the next 3 or 4 years. And making the wrong managerial hire here, it's not going to take them out of the playoffs necessarily, but it definitely reduces their potential ceiling as a possible World Series winner.
Talking baseball with Keith Law, it's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You mentioned, you know, we know why those two guys are available. It just from your perspective, I guess, how would you respond to people saying that, well, he only won because they did cheat? And I don't know. I mean, like, when the stink of cheating is around a guy, as a White Sox fan, I wish they would hire A.J. Hinch. I'll be honest with you. I can get over it. But, like, what would be an eloquent, appropriate response if somebody says, well, what's so good about A.J. Hinch? They cheated to win.
Yeah, the players absolutely broke the rules. You know, Hinch's role in that is certainly disputed, and my understanding from talking to multiple people involved was that Hinch was opposed to the scheme and did try internally to get them to knock it off and did not get support from the front office. And so, man, you know, whether you think he's, you know, how complicit was he? Was this Buck Weaver where he just didn't say anything to the right people to get it to stop? You know, that to me is a matter of opinion. But ultimately, no one's going to care if they win. If they hire Hinch or Cora and they win next year, nobody's going to care anymore. And frankly, both guys, I think, had good reputations when they got their jobs. Both showed themselves to be good tactical managers while they were in their jobs. And whether or not they were helped by whatever sign-stealing schemes were going on, to me, that doesn't actually change the fact that they were both very capable when it came to nuts and bolts in-game strategy. And if they do that and they manage their next job the way they each manage their last jobs, they're going to win. And the fans, most fans, will forget any of this the moment they win. Winning just cures everything. Players will forgive, and this is not the same thing, but players will forgive. Fans will forgive players who committed acts of domestic violence if it helps their team win.
Yeah.
And that's gross. So this isn't even close to that. So if they can forgive that, they're going to forgive the fact that both of these managers were suspended for the sign-stealing scam.
A couple quick things on the north side before we let you go, since we have you. Do you think Theo finishes out the last year with the Cubs as the vice president?
I have heard he's very likely to move on after that, sort of in search of the next challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that next challenge is actually available right now. The Phillies were one that was floated, and this is just industry chatter. But, you know, the Phillies Andy McPhail is here for another year. I live close to Philly. That's why I say here. He's got one more year as team president. He'd move on. So that could be an opportunity after next year. I've heard Theo's name linked to Seattle quite a bit. Seattle has a general manager. They've not moved on from Jerry DePoto. Maybe they will in a year. I don't know what's going on there, but that I've heard that one a couple of times now, which makes me think there could be something to it. Maybe it's just Theo is targeting it. Maybe the ownership there is floating it to see if he might be interested. But either way, I would guess by 2022, he's somewhere else. But he may not go anywhere right now.
The Cub most likely to get traded this offseason is?
Ooh.
Everyone. Everyone.
Maybe multiple.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder what happens with, you know, what direction do they decide to take? Is this going to be, no, we're trying to win one more time with the players we have here while we still have them? It's the wrong time to trade a lot of these guys. You're not trading Chris Bryant, you're not trading Javi Baez after a down, you know, it's a 60-game season. I'm not drawing conclusions from it. It's the wrong time to trade a lot of those guys. You know, I would have said Ian Happ if you'd asked me 6 months ago. You probably did ask me 6 months ago. But now at this point, Ian Happ's the guy who's, no, absolutely not. We're absolutely keeping that guy. So I don't know. No, nobody jumps out to me as like, oh, yeah, this is absolutely the right time to trade this player. Because so many of them, they've seen their values flip from where they were before this truncated season.
Add Keith Law on Twitter and check out the podcast. Keith, it's always nice catching up. Thank you.
Yep, my pleasure.
Talk to you later, Keith Law. When we come back, Meller has the waiver watch. Waiver wires opening on this Wednesday because of the goofy week with week five ending last night. No Thursday night game this week. So we have until Sunday before the action starts, then a doubleheader to wrap week six on Monday night. So you still got time to tweak your fantasy lineups, and Meller's going to fill you in on who to be in search for on the waiver wire coming up next.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
For the men and women in our audience that play fantasy football, and that's most of you, let's face it, this is the most important segment of the week. We don't do, Julio Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, and Robbie
Michael
Anderson.
Thomas.
I need four of them.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, I need a flex. Like, no, we don't do that. What we do is, see, we've got access to the greatest fantasy football here at the station.
Yep.
Maybe within the ESPN family.
I'd like
family
to say in the greater Chicagoland metropolitan area.
I mean, Field Yates is good.
It's 9 million. That's 9 million people.
It's 9 million people.
9 million.
Meller, like, dominates these leagues. It's not just he says he's an expert. He dominates
until
these
he met the good kid, and then the good kid took him down.
All right. Well, you can't win them all, for crying out loud.
I had one. I had won four straight in that league, and then Yurko was the one who dethroned
that's pretty
me.
Pretty good, but I mean, the guy wins year after year.
I disagree with you.
So we really have access to a great fantasy mind.
Yes, we do.
And so he tells you normally on Tuesdays, but the week's a little off because we had a game last night. So the waiver wires are open, and Meller tells you who to be in search for. He's given out in the last couple of weeks. Miles Gaskin. Miles Gaskin helped me win a league this week. I'll tell you that. He's given out Chase Claypool. Yeah, I mean,
four touchdowns.
It goes on and on.
And a bad offensive pass interference penalty. That was just a horrific call.
Which could have been a fifth.
Yes.
Yeah, it could have been a fifth touchdown for Claypool. Because
unbelievable. He might not have five the rest of the year. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes I should listen to my own advice. I'm not going to lie. All Sunday morning, Carm, before I was getting ready to go on the air with Xander, I was hosting with him this Sunday. I was like, I gotta pick up Chase Claypool.
And you didn't.
And I got sidetracked.
Look at
Yurko,
you.
In the league that you actually dethroned me, I was, my intentions, every intention of picking up Claypool, I was like, I gotta get him on my roster because he is running more snaps right now than any other wide receiver in Pittsburgh. So I was like, I gotta do it.
Wow.
Got distracted, Did not do it, and sure enough, what happens? He goes and scores four touchdowns, and you know what? I'm not going to get him in that league because I don't have the number one waiver priority.
No, now that's it. He's gone now. So we turn it over to Mellor. Who should people be targeting first and foremost on this fine Wednesday as we get ready for Week 6 in the NFL? The waiver wires are open. Tell everybody who to go after, Mellor.
They should go ahead and add Chase Claypool.
Yay!
He's available in 90% of leagues.
That's amazing. 90%?
And look, a lot of rosters, I can understand why you maybe couldn't find room for him, but at this point, it's pretty obvious. Four touchdowns. He is 6'4". Just a shade under 240 pounds. He's a beast.
He's a beast.
If you saw the highlights on Sunday. So he's a must add. He's one of those guys who I don't know if he's going to. I honestly think he will score five touchdowns the rest of the year. I think he's probably going to get close to double digits.
Well, Deontay Johnson's been banged up, right? I mean, and like you said, he's getting more snaps than anybody there right now.
And he's got the size. You know that once Ben can trust you, Ben's a good.
Yeah, he'll go to you.
He'll be good for his fantasy stat line. So Chase Claypool to me is a must add. And I'll say this, if you're somebody who participates in a FOB league where you have to designate a budget, an amount of money where you're going to bid on him, I would put at least 50% of my bid in on Chase Claypool this week. I think he's got the upside to be, you know, a number two wide receiver in fantasy terms. So
that'd
go ahead.
$91 for me. I've got $192 left.
Yeah, I'd be willing to put 50% of whatever your budget is on him because I think he might be worth it. He could be a superstar, at least in terms of like what's available on the waiver wire the rest of the season.
All right.
The next name I think is pretty clearly obvious, but I think Alexander Mattison is a must add. He's available in over about 60% of leagues right now with Delvin Cook's groin injury.
Sure.
Like they're talking about how they want him to be back this week. I think that's kind of silly because they have the bye in week 7.
Right.
Why would you rush Delvin Cook back if you're the Vikings when you have an extra week after that? It just makes sense that Mattison will be the lead back for them this week.
And he had over 100 yards in relief. Now, they ran roughshod all over Seattle, and teams have done that, but that's a must-add. I agree. He's got an adductor strain. I can't see Dalvin Cook playing with an adductor strain with the bye on deck. There's no way.
And, yeah, like I said, I think he'll definitely be gone this week. I think there's a decent chance he may miss a couple weeks after the bye. So don't buy into – there's no reason to, like, be shy about adding Mattison.
Not only that, even if he does come back and play, he is one wrong move away from being right back on board.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the former football player can tell you that once you have an injury that
once you're compromised, the odds of becoming compromised during the same year are great.
So, so go add Mattison. That's a pretty clearly obvious one. Chase Edmonds continues to be the next man up. Now, Kenyon Drake scored a touchdown this week, so maybe he holds Chase Edmonds off for a little while longer. But in the same way that I gave out Claypool a few weeks earlier, I think this is one where you want to move early, get him on your roster if he's available in your league, because he is somebody who could you could reap the benefits from later in the year.
They have a good matchup this week, too. They're playing the Cowboys.
Yeah,
I mean, the Giants just scored 34 on the Cowboys,
they did.
So get ready.
Okay, and that leads to, you know what, perfect segue. Andy Dalton. I think Dalton, with the skill positions around him right now, if you're looking for a Dak replacement, you could do worse than Andy Dalton. We know he's a professional quarterback. You may not love him if he's leading your team, the actual team that you root for. But for fantasy purposes, Andy Dalton has had years where he threw 32 touchdowns one year. He can get it done with Gallup, with Cooper, with CeeDee Lamb. He's got a lot of weapons there, so I think Dalton's somebody who can be serviceable, probably give you like 85% of what Dak was giving you. So I think Dalton's a guy who can be serviceable if you need a Dak replacement. Although I'll say, I would rather have Justin Herbert. If you're picking between the two, Herbert is available in 52% of leagues right now, so if you need somebody you're choosing between the two for the season, I would roll with Herbert over Dalton.
Herbert's been very impressive, man.
Yes.
And it looks like they're willing to let him throw the ball, you know?
Yep.
If you want just a 1 week streamer, if you need a quarterback to plug in for just this week, I think Kirk Cousins is your guy. He's available in almost 80% of leagues. Guess what?
Isn't that amazing?
The Vikings have the Falcons.
They've got the Falcons.
Boys.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Go after anybody that's got the Falcons. I mean, the Falcons' defense is so bad. Now they've changed coaches.
Just because you fired Dan Quinn doesn't necessarily mean you have the fix for your defense.
Right. A lot of injuries. Defense has been abysmal. Isn't that something, Kirk Cousins, all the money he's made, he's available in what percentage of leagues?
Kirk Cousins is available in 79% of leagues.
I advised a guy to pick up Roethlisberger the other day.
Yeah.
He was available.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it'd be Cousins, the amount of money he's made, and he's available in 80% of fantasy leagues.
The reason Roethlisberger's available is he's not running for touchdowns. Well, a lot of these guys like him when they can throw for touchdowns and the more points when you run for touchdowns.
No, Yurko was right about that. The six versus four, you know, whether or not how your scoring system goes for passing touchdowns is definitely a reason why Ben sometimes gets knocked.
Yeah.
I would say, okay, I don't think I should need to say this, but maybe I don't want to assume, you know, because you know what happens when you assume, Carm.
You make an ass out of you and me.
So I'm not going to assume. I'm going to say this for the folks out there. Just because Le'Veon Bell was cut doesn't mean that you should cut him. Hang on to him. Sometimes people get a little trigger happy and they're like, oh, the Jets released him. I'm going to release him. Listen, we're going to find out within the next day or two who Le'Veon Bell is going to play for, and he's probably going to be in a better situation moving forward.
I would think.
So don't get trigger happy. Do not cut Le'Veon Bell. Even if you don't like the situation he lands in, I have to believe it's going to end up being better for him than what he was dealing with Adam Gase and the Jets.
Hard to get worse than what's happening in New York with the
Meanwhile,
Jets.
If you're desperate, though, Frank Gore, and who I don't like. I've said it numerous times.
Not personally, just
for fantasy purposes, Frank Gore is just not going to help you usually. But if you're in deeper leagues, without Bell there now, he's going to probably continue to get 15 to 20 touches, and he'll probably get you 60 yards. And on occasion, he might score a touchdown. So if you need a running back, especially with bye weeks rolling around, and now that we have to deal with COVID bye weeks that pop up without you knowing it, Frank Gore is somebody who... The touches are there, so he's worth probably rostering at this point without Bell. Also, LaMichael Perine, he is the running back that the Jets drafted this year. He's somebody who I would keep my eye on, and he's more of a futures play, but I think without Bell, he could see some touches if Gore shows that what
he's
I
old.
Think is not very productive.
Yeah.
So LaMichael Perine may be a speculative ad. Mm-hmm. Travis Fulgham.
Yes, what
available
a game.
In 99% of Ooh. Leagues. He had 10 catches over 140 yards, scored a touchdown, and was clearly Carson Wentz's go-to guy. He's a must-add because I don't know how it's going to play out going forward, but he's got the height, and he's shown now in 2 weeks that he can make some plays. Because remember, he had that really nice catch against the 49ers on Sunday Night Football for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Fulgham has kind of announced himself to the world that he's going to be Wentz's number one option, at least for a little while here. So he's worth adding in most leagues.
What do I do with Michael Thomas?
I would hold on. They have the bye this week, Yerk. I think it was actually a blessing in disguise for fantasy owners. I did not want him rushing back out there with the high ankle sprain. He was forced to miss Monday's game. They have the bye week this week. I actually would advise if you could go ahead and make a trade for Michael Thomas, I think maybe you can get him for 70 cents on the dollar.
Wow, buy low.
And I think it might be an ad that can... you can have playoff, you can benefit in the playoffs because once he gets back, if he can get back to full health, he's clearly the number one wide receiver, in my opinion, in fantasy football.
Yeah, even, and you know, Brees, for as bad as he looked in the first half, Drew Brees bounced back. Like, they're still going to score points. They're still going to move the ball, you know? I mean,
listen, I don't think Brees' arm strength has diminished any more than it really was last year.
Probably not.
I think once Thomas gets back into the lineup with Kamara, that'll make the Saints more difficult to defend.
Yes.
And so with Thomas and Kamara out there, even Emmanuel Sanders, who's still a savvy vet, they're going to be a little bit more difficult to defend when Thomas is out on the field. And so I think he'll be okay. I think actually Drew Brees, the second half, could be better than he's been the first 5 weeks as well.
A healthy Michael Thomas makes a big difference because they do have a lot of playmakers in that offense. So we've got Madison is a must. Claypool, good luck if you're not first in the waiver selection. But if you are...
But
you
he's worth, again, you know, some leagues
that's
play
right.
fab.
That's true,
so
right.
So if you're wondering how much do I spend on Chase Claypool, I think he's probably worth 50% of your budget at this point because we're at week six here now. So how much... What are you saving your money for at this point? You know, we're halfway through the fantasy season. You might as well go big or go home because I don't know if you're going to see better options come available.
See, good knowledge from Meller. Cousins a good ad for this week because they're playing the Falcons. Chase Edmonds, Travis Fulgham. So there are some names for you. Anybody else? Or is that it?
Yeah, I'll give you two more receivers.
All right,
Preston Williams of the Dolphins was drafted in a lot of leagues. Probably cut, though, after he had a slow start. He scored a touchdown this week. He had over 100 yards. He's available in 62% of leagues. Also, LaVisca Chenault.
Yes.
DJ Chark.
Another rookie.
I've given Chenault out earlier in the season. Now he's available in 57% of leagues. And with DJ Chark dealing with injuries, Chenault is somebody who is working his way into their offense. So I think he is a solid add as well.
All right. Good stuff, Meller. There it is. Midway Jeff Meller, the Waiver Watch, normally each and every Tuesday. Good luck to everybody in fantasy. We mentioned Le'Veon Bell. One very prominent writer thinks the Bears are a good fit. Will they be interested? We'll read that to you coming up next. Plus, Yurko's Night of Impossible Trivia. You're not going to want to miss that. It's all coming up. We'll be right back.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The Jets have said goodbye to Le'Veon Bell, Yurko. That seemed like it was failed from the start, right? Adam Gase was trying to move on from him the minute he got that job, wasn't he? Kind of felt that way. But Le'Veon Bell is going to be available, and people are wondering, should the Bears be interested? It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Bill Barnwell wrote an article at ESPN.com, possible destinations for Le'Veon Bell. And he writes, Yurko, I'll start with the Bears, who are the most obvious fit to me. Matt Nagy's team is 4-1, and while you can poke holes in Chicago's resume, ESPN's Football Power Index give the Bears a 55.8% chance to make it to the postseason. And I'll interject real quick for what it's worth. 55.8 according to ESPN's Power Index. 538 gives the Bears a 70% chance to make the playoffs. Barnwell continues. They also have approximately $10 million in cap space, so adding a small salary is not an issue. Bell would replace Cohen, Tariq Cohen, who went down with a torn ACL at the end of September. David Montgomery's on the roster. He'd be the featured back. But the 19th third-rounder hasn't looked good as the primary back, failing to top 30 yards rushing or receiving in each of the past two. Chicago has used Cordero Patterson as a change of pace, but Bell would immediately step in and take Cohn's role in the offense, which should be something in the ballpark of 8 to 10 touches per game.
What are you going to pay him?
Oh,
you're paying him $4 million?
No, I don't even know if you're paying him that, Yurk. Right. I don't think.
So,
are you?
First of all, what are you going to pay him?
I'm thinking like $2 million.
He's going to get what, about 6 to 8 touches a game? 8 to 10 touches a game,
I think,
tops?
10 touches a game.
I mean,
is Tariq it not
Cohen,
worth $2 million,
Tariq Cohen wasn't getting that many touches a game. Listen, you want talent on your team.
Right.
Like, but no matter what you do in bringing him here, the offensive line doesn't get better.
No, can he,
your problem with your running game is your offensive line is a grotesque inability to block.
Does he improve your miserable screen game, or is that again incumbent on the offensive line getting things right, and that's why it's
so
bad?
Oh, it's about timing. The screen game is all about timing.
Okay.
You have to have it with everything. It's not just the offensive line. It's with the running back, and it's with the quarterback being able to understand exactly when he needs to get the ball. You got to bait him upfield. Then you got to dump it just behind him as they continue upfield.
Because it has been a strength of his in his career.
Like,
you know,
these guys, you know, you got the five blocks of granite. You got the five blocks of cream cheese right now. I mean, these guys.
You're going Mike
right
North throwing at it on
together,
Twitter.
Well, we're not even going at it.
No,
we're
it's
just
fun. I love it.
Ideas. We're having a good time.
You're going to call them the five blocks of cream cheese.
Truly. And Mikey correctly points out that Jimbo Covert's not going to walk through the door. You're right. But you have what you have.
Keith Van Horn's not walking through that door.
The reason I say it is there's an understanding of why you don't have a successful running game. A, your offensive line can't run block. For heaven's sake, he was being tackled. Montgomery was being tackled by his own offensive lineman in a game.
It's crazy.
It kept going so far backwards that you were tripping over their legs.
It was the Colts game.
Yes.
He was literally being stopped in the backfield,
yes.
Not by the Colts, but by his own offensive lineman.
He had nowhere to go because his own people were in the way.
Anybody that criticizes David Montgomery is clearly not watching Chicago Bears football.
And because you can't block on the offensive line, the great Juan Castillo is there, of course. Because you can't block on the offensive line, your playbook is limited when it comes to the run game. What can we do? What can't we do? Well, if we can't block the guy that's in front of us and he keeps pushing us 3 yards in the backfield, let's take this whole section of the playbook right off.
Right.
You can't do anything with that.
No, he just they
so I mean,
lop
it's the combination
off.
Of having a horrific run blocking offensive line and a coach that realizes that and then doesn't want to run the ball. You don't want to run when you can't run. Why would you? I'd rather throw the ball.
I know. I think Nagy is taking that approach in a lot of games.
So if you want to bring Le'Veon Bell in, okay, feel free. The way he left Pittsburgh was not a great way to leave Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
And he couldn't wait He couldn't wait. Well, if the going gets tough and the tough keep going here in Chicago, is he going to be looking to get someplace else?
Well, but he left Pittsburgh because he wanted to get paid.
He was not happy.
Yeah.
He held out.
Right. Yeah, right. I know. He wanted to get paid.
Right.
I
mean, how'd that work for him?
He didn't get the contract I think he thought he was going to get.
Is he getting paid now? Sitting out a week? Is he getting paid right now?
No.
Currently, if he doesn't get picked up this week, if he goes through the system, he doesn't get picked up this week. That's 1 week he's not getting paid.
That's 1 week he doesn't get paid. I bet you he gets
picked up. Somebody signing him for $15 million this week?
No, stop it.
So the point is, how did it work out for him?
Well,
they loved him in Pittsburgh.
It's running backs, Yurk. It's what we always say.
Thank you.
They did the right thing. He thought he was more worth more than he actually is, unfortunately. Running backs are the only position in the NFL where the average annual salary has gone down.
And if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I'm looking around and I'm looking at the Chicago offensive line, though it might look like the right fit, I'm getting the hell out of Dodge and finding me an offensive line that knows how to block.
That's a good point. Here's ESPN NFL insider Jeremy Fowler last night on SportsCenter talking about possible landing spots for Le'Veon.
He should have suitors. Now, it's worth noting the Jets did feel like he had lost some explosion, you know, that maybe he wasn't the same guy burst out of the hole that he was 3 or 4 years ago with the Steelers, and maybe the year off from football when he sat out on the franchise tag affected things. But make no mistake, this is a guy that can still help. He's got incredible hands as a pass catcher, great as a pass blocker, and he can still be an effective runner in the right system. So it's pretty early, but, you know, you look at teams like the Chicago Bears that could use another running back after Tariq Cohen went out. That could be an option. The Miami Dolphins have been speculated about from people I've asked around the league because they've been looking hard at running backs for the better part of 4 or 5 months, making multiple trades at that position. It still hasn't worked out where they have a workhorse guy. Bell trains in South Florida in the offseason, so that could be an ideal fit.
So he does mention the Bears there. A couple insiders thinking the Bears might be a good fit. Like, this one's an interesting one to me. When I first heard the news yesterday, I did think, like, it might be interesting for the Bears without Tariq Cohen, you know? I mean, like...
Well, listen, you do want talented players.
Yeah, like you said, it's a good point.
And if you consider him a talented player and you can get him in here for the right price, okay, I'm not going to fight you, but I'm just saying don't expect great things from Le'Veon Bell behind his offensive line. That's all.
And I also don't think Le'Veon Bell is the malcontent that some people think he is. I think that's a false narrative out there.
If you consider him a talent... and you think he'll upgrade your room, then bring him on.
Right.
I've got no problem with
it. Mallard, would you agree? I mean, he's not Antonio Brown. People want to make that comparison because I think he was a Steeler, but that'd be a little bit unfair to Le'Veon.
I think this is where fantasy kind of sometimes, like, blurs your idea of who's who. Like, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Ben, they're always put together because they're the killer bees, the three bees, whatever you want to say, and they were very productive for a time there. Antonio Brown had some very serious issues that I don't think you want in the locker room.
Right.
You know what I mean?
At this point.
Le'Veon Bell wanted to get paid, and, you know, as you guys, as the Carmen and Yurko show mantra, the Steelers share that mantra. They're not going to pay a running back after his prime. So they were at an impasse, and they had the franchise tag, and that made, as Yurko pointed out, Le'Veon Bell very discontent about where he was at in his career because he wanted to get paid, and he felt like he was doing enough to, you know, get paid. That doesn't happen. Now, he does have an issue where he was suspended 2 games for marijuana.
He likes the weed. I mean, listen, it's legal now in most places. For crying out loud.
Truth be told, that was, you know, 5, 6 years ago, and it was a little bit of a different time. I do wonder if you could get Le'Veon Bell to come in on just for one year where he was motivated to try and get paid yet again because he's only 28.
Right.
Would that maybe be of interest to you? Because I'm with you, York. I don't want to pay a lot of money, but I look at the depth chart of the Bears roster, and I'm kind of like, if anything happens to David Montgomery, this is a disastrous situation.
You've got undrafted guys in Lamar Miller. Those are your options, guys. I mean, it's not the craziest idea to think that the Bears should be kicking the tires on Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I think they should probably be a little interested right now.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Sign him if you like.
I like what you said. You know, you want talented players. If you think you want
talented players, I'm just saying, don't expect him to all of a sudden light it up like a Christmas tree.
Well, he's not going to be 2016 Le'Veon Bell or whatever.
Not with that offensive line, guys.
Yeah.
Not with Charles Leno.
All right, what do you think, folks?
Helping the Bears 10 yards at a time going backwards.
312-332-3776. How about Mike in Willow Springs? What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to give you a little help. Check me out on this. Le'Veon Bell's contract for $56 million. Had $28 million guaranteed, paid already.
So he had 50% of it up front.
That is correct.
Man, I tell you, that's a tough allocation for the New York Jets then.
Yeah.
Because all that accelerates up to now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because that's what happens, right? You're going to cut the guy?
Yeah.
So, Mike, is your point also that he did, you know, he made his money and he might not be looking for a lot of money right now? Is that kind of what your point is?
A little bit of both. I'm an MSU fan, so I understood why he sat the season out.
Yeah.
But he got twice the amount he would have, right? So he really got paid for the year he sat out plus the year he played.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yes.
And, you know, where he goes from here, yeah. I mean, obviously I'd like him to go to the Bears. But
yeah.
I at this point now, was like you guys correctly said, he's burned bridges at two places. He might have to play for a lower, but he got paid.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Don't mistake that. Mike, he got 28 million.
Good point, Mike. Good info. Thanks, buddy. And, yeah, he and Gase, I think, just kind of butted heads
and
from
the
get-go.
And he got five-seventeenths of $8.5 million already this year.
This year, right.
Just so you guys know.
5 weeks on the roster. All right, we'll grab a couple more calls and then some funny stuff that Yurko had going on last night. It's coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Breaking News, powered by PointsBet Sportsbook on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we spent a lot of the early portion of the show talking about how crazy it seems that Tony La Russa would even be considered for the White Sox managerial job. Maybe you heard Keith Law with us earlier this hour. It's insane. It makes no sense. I don't know. Bob Nightingale's latest tweet is even more upsetting and disturbing, because here we go again. While we all think, everybody's like, Bob Nightingale's bat, you know what, crazy. He hasn't had a White Sox story right in 10 years. Somebody from La Russa's camp is feeding it to him. Jerry's being nice to Tony. The Los Angeles Angels have granted official permission for the White Sox to interview Tony La Russa for their managerial opening. La Russa is a special assistant to the Los Angeles Angels owner, I guess.
And you better stay out of our business.
The White Sox have put in a request to interview Tony La Russa. I don't know. I'm beside myself. If they hire Tony La Russa, I honestly don't know how I'm going to handle it. I don't know what I'm going to do if they hire Tony La Russa, but, Mellor? White Sox fan.
I'm losing it back here. Carm, Yurko and JR, who are
laughing.
Both Cubs fans, are laughing at us. They're smitten over here about the idea.
I don't know.
Listen. He's got.
This seems like Jerry coming in.
This
and
is
saying,
all Silverman's fault.
We're going to hire Tony La Russa.
Yes.
What? Doesn't that feel like that? Jerry coming down there and just saying, we're going to hire Tony La Russa.
I don't know.
I cannot. Not only is it upsetting that they're thinking about hiring a 76-year-old guy to come in with this young core who we've laid out. You know, like, you can't even imagine him coexisting with Tim Anderson, like, all of a sudden, the brash swag of Tim Anderson and the old-school Tony La Russa. I mean, I guess he's won 3 World Series titles, and he was an innovator back in the late 80s when he...
When I was in junior high?
He's the first manager to really understand how to use pitchers, so it's interesting. He probably handles the bullpen better than Ricky Renteria.
Was it Dave Duncan? It was probably Dave Duncan.
Well, Dave Duncan's in the White Sox system.
Yeah.
He'd probably be your pitching coach.
He probably would be.
But the point is that was back in 1988, Carm!
I don't know. Okay.
Come on, it's only 32 years later.
All right.
Recapture the magic.
I can't believe that this is getting so serious.
It's getting too serious.
Yurko was playing Jeopardy last night. Oh, hold on. Turn.
This is the sound a doggy makes. Mr. Connery.
Moo.
No.
Well, that's the sound your mother made last night.
It might have been as hard as Jeopardy. Yurko was playing trivia last night. He gave me some of the questions earlier today. And I got to tell you, I've heard of hard trivia questions, and then I've heard of, what? Yurko's, all of a sudden, Yurko's asking me these questions.
I just started asking him questions from yesterday's trivia that I remember.
And I said, Yurk, where are we going with this? He goes, these were trivia questions last night at the bar. I said,
the bar.
Jesus, these
they
are
He said,
harsh.
You want to play? I said, sure, give me a sheet. Team El Guapo. So me and my buddy Donnie Subchuck sitting there. I actually told the girl, if you win, you win $100. So I told one of the girls, listen, if we don't know the answers, go up there and get us the answers and come on back.
It's like AJ Hinch over here.
She almost forgot the financial incentive because I didn't see her until the fourth round.
Yurko says to me in the office, he goes, how many vitamins are there? Now, I take a daily vitamin. I got a men's one a day. It's on the shelf. And I thought Yurko wanted a vitamin. I said, goes, I got a full case, kid.
No.
And Yurko goes, no.
How many vitamins?
How many vitamins are there? So I start counting them up and he goes, there's 13. I said, oh, okay. And then 13 vitamins. Then he says to me, how many national
parks? Does that include vitamin J, Yurk?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Choline, by the way.
Then he says to me, how many national parks are there? And I said, geez, I don't know. Maybe 30, 40. And Yurko said, 64. And I said, okay, these are tough questions. And then what was the third one? Then he asked me another one, that was the hardest one.
Which was the Happy Meal created?
When was the Happy Meal created? And yeah. I said, oh, 1982. He said
1976. 79. I answered 76. I was wrong. I put 1979.
And he turned to me and he goes, these were the questions at trivia last night. I said, these are absurd.
Hey, what's the only body part that doesn't bleed?
That's a tough one, too.
The only body part that does not bleed.
Just, Franks and beans can bleed. Your tongue can bleed.
Right. Everything can bleed. Skin, the epidermal layers bleed. You just winked it.
You winked it.
Oh, the eye.
Your cornea.
Your cornea can't bleed.
Okay.
Like can't the bleed. Part, the pupil yes, can yes, bleed.
Yes. I'm like, how in the hell am I supposed to know a cornea doesn't bleed?
These were crazy questions. I'm like, this is the hardest bar trivia I've ever heard in my life.
What do you call a group of hedgehogs?
Yeah, that was another one. I said, who would know that?
What do you call a group of hedgehogs?
Sonic? I don't know.
No. It's a great guess.
I don't know.
An array?
Okay.
Or a pixel? Of hedgehog.
I said, that's impossible.
A pixel.
The only one I got right is when he said, how many
dots are in a pair of dice?
Well, that, and the other, that's an easy one because that you can just add.
You
can count that up. The other one was they tried to trick you. Six of the months have 30 days, five of the months have
31 days.
How many months have 28?
And I said, because
all of them
have 28. Yeah,
Carmen got that one. I put one down like a fool.
I said, this is the hardest
question. And that's when she came over and she goes, no, they all do. They all do.
I can't believe
and
you I'm got like, that wrong.
It's just a brain teaser that my 10-year-olds walk around
asking
me.
It's a Wonderland question. Yeah. Sebastian's in Algonquin. What's going on, Sebastian?
Oh, hey. I just want to ask you guys about Lamar Miller. I know he's 29. He's coming off a knee injury, but our backfield sucks. So I feel like we should give him a chance. He has a history of being able to run the ball and catch the ball. So
yeah, Dan Weeder was on earlier today with Cap and Jay Hood, Sebastian, and said he thinks at some point they're going to get him up and ready. And Dan didn't think that they'd be going after Le'Veon Bell, but he wouldn't say it's an absolute, certainty that they're not going to be a little interested. So we will follow that story today. I think Le'Veon officially hits the market, I think, at 3.
3 o'clock.
Ron's in Tinley Park. Ron, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So let me ask you this about Le'Veon Bell and the Bears. So is it an upgrade to David Montgomery?
I don't know if it's an upgrade to Montgomery. I mean, I don't, like Yerk says, I mean, it's hard to blame Montgomery for the ills of this running game. I mean, he gets tackled by his O-lineman, let alone the other team, I mean.
Would it be an upgrade? The way Le'Veon Bell has performed in the past, yes, it would be an upgrade.
Okay.
But Le'Veon Bell was running behind the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line.
Yeah. All right, what's your other question?
Here's the thing. My thing also, too. So a lot of these teams are offensive lines or middle of the pack, if not lower. Look in Carolina. Their offensive line is solid at best. And Mike Davis is running all over the place.
He's doing well.
Same with Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. That's the worst offensive line in football. And great backs are good backs, and they'll find a way. This kid's got amazing vision. It's like Matt Forte all over again. He can catch the ball. You use him 8 to 10 times a game. Why not?
Okay.
Why not?
Ron, we appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, I think they should be at least mildly interested. They should be exploring.
I think I went that way. If you think he's an improvement, then pick him up.
Yeah. And Mike Davis, that line's doing okay for Mike Davis. He's not getting hit in the backfield a lot. They're running downhill, and he's been good in the past.
2,400 all-purpose yards for our guy McCaffrey last year. This guy'd be on pace 117 times 16. Still a pretty good chunk of change.
Been great.
He'd be up there at about 1,700, 1,800 all-purpose yards.
Thanks for calling and being part of the show today. Thank you to Keith Law, also Midway Jeff Meller and J.R. Strauss. And Waddle and Sylvie will have more on this ongoing story that the White Sox, it's looking like they actually are pursuing Tony La Russa.
Boy.
This is craziness. Now they have official permission from the Angels to interview him. It's crazy. Greeny's next, Waddle and Sylvie too, then it's Black and Abdallah. Have a great night, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!